I believe God's taken us to this morning, the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to chapter 1 and to chapter 150 this morning. And I tell you to say all that to say this: I have no notes. It's all up here. I was going to say, I was sitting here and I was thinking, I was going to say, if I start rambling, raise your hand. And then I saw Sarah out there, and I thought, if I say that, Sarah's going to have her hand up the whole time. And even just saying it now, Julie raises her hand. So we're not going to play that game, okay? Oh, my. Can I tell you this? I'm glad you folks love me. You have no idea. I don't know if you know this either. You have no idea how many pastors pastor their people don't love them. Would somebody come up here and find Psalm 150 for me? I can't even get my pages to work. I wouldn't want to be a surgeon nowadays. The hand doesn't. That is old people's exercise. Huh? Amen? I mean, we do a lot of strange things, but we get our exercise in. Okay? All right. Are you there yet, Dina? I wasn't talking about that. I was going to say something to Danny, but I'll leave it alone. I normally read and then pray. Let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for this morning. And thank you for these moments we can have together. I ask you, O God, to speak to our hearts. I pray for the words, the thoughts, those things that need to be remembered will be, those things need to be forgotten that they will be, and that through it all that you would get the honor and the glory and the praise. For I believe that's what this book, by and large, is all about. And so we ask for your blessing, the power, and the unction of the Spirit of God to move. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm chapter 1 begins with the word blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now the next three verses are about the other kind of man, but as we see that, it helps us understand even more so what the godly are to be. It says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thank God for his word. We'll not read Psalm 150 till we get there. But let's stop and consider this psalm for a little bit. And before we consider it, let me tell you why we're putting these two together. One is the beginning, one is the end. One is the Alpha, the other is the Omega. And really, the entire book of Psalms, I believe, this sounds stupid, goes from chapter 1 to chapter 150, but it also goes from the blessedness that God gives to man to the glory that man gives to God. And that's the real message in the heart of what we want to see this day. So let's notice, first of all, the blessedness of the man that walks with God. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not. And here he tells us areas that are going to affect our lives if we get involved with it. Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Our counselor, we are told from Scripture, is the Lord. There are, as we find in the book of Proverbs, many counselors. But we also find not only are there good counselors, there is bad counsel. Is that not true? And so there are those who will give bad advice and bad counsel. And God tells us we cannot walk with that kind of counsel. So we must say to ourselves, who are our friends? Who are those that we associate with so much? I believe that's why God has made the local church such an important aspect of our lives, so that we have the right kind of people surrounding us. Now you look around and you say, well, these folks are about as dumb as I am. Well, first of all, they probably aren't. Secondly, maybe they are. I don't know. But they love God. And when they love God, they got a certain amount of wisdom, a certain amount of knowledge. And every one of you in this room have the ability through God to be a blessing to somebody else. And through yourself, no, but through the Lord, certainly can. So anyways, he talks about the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners. Now the word way is simply talking about the path or the road upon which we might go. And so if we're standing in the way of sinners, we're not talking about they're standing as a roadblock, but they're standing in that position whereby they could be going in the wrong direction. You know, if we don't want to go down the path of the ungodly, don't get on the path. Does that make sense? And so we need to understand that. Then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I find when I study the book of Proverbs, there's four different kinds of men that are spoken of over and over throughout that book. And one of those is people who scorn. It's an interesting thing about it. As you look at all of those verses, you're going to find one thing is that scornful people, you can't help them. You cannot help them. And so the Lord is saying, hey, if we don't sit in the seat of the scornful, we don't sit in that kind of position, we can have the blessing of God. And for us to scorn, for us to look down on all those things, it's not going to be of help to us. So he says, here's the blessing. Now, I love that verse, but we go on. But his delight. So he's given us the negative, and now he's given us the positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, the word law back in the Old Testament many times just referred to the entire word of God. And so he's talking about the person who delights in it, the person who meditates in it. He's the blessed man. And what a privilege it is ours that we can pick up the word of God, we can read it, and I mean delight to read it. Here's a problem we face. I'm sure every one of you do. And that is, we have our little reading schedule or whatever it is. And so, I got to read this today, I got to read this today, I got to read this today. And we don't really sit down with delight in our soul, longing to read it. It's out of obligation, wrong reason. And we don't get the blessing from it. But I'll tell you what, when you sit down with a delight in your heart, seeking to find out what it is God wants in my life, what God wants to show me today, what a blessed spot that is. In his law, and he goes on to say, doth he meditate day and night? Meditate upon the word of God. I was meditating yesterday in a somewhat of a fashion, and I just mentioned a little while ago, but I kept thinking all day long, and it was the song, there's power in the blood. And certainly that's a biblical theme, amen? And though, you know, we get so dependent upon electricity. We use it to store our food. We use it to cook our food. We use it to heat. I mean, electricity is so important in lives. By the way, pray for some of those guys that are out there. And I think France is probably still out there. I can't understand these guys working 24 and 36 hours to do what they're doing. And he'll come home, he'll be dead tired. And thank the Lord for that. And sometimes we're sitting there complaining, why don't they get to my house? And they're working as fast and as hard as they can. And anyways, that's another story all of itself. But we have the wonderful privilege to meditate upon the Word of God. And then he says, here's this blessed man. I love this. Do you like pictures? Huh? I love pictures. Julie, she keeps putting these things on Facebook. I think it's Facebook. And it shows scenes from Nebraska. I didn't know Nebraska could be beautiful. They must have traveled the state many times to happen to find a spot. I used to get so upset going to camp. Oh, man, I got to go through Nebraska. And one year I thought, you know, why am I so disgusted about that? Enjoy the trip as much as the destination. And when I did that, I all of a sudden saw a beautiful state out there. I didn't know sagebrush could be so beautiful. Now I'm just teasing there. But listen, here's the picture. A tree planted by the rivers of water. What's that mean? It means it gets plenty of nourishment. There's water for that tree. And it's not going to dry up quickly. And then it says, brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the blessed man. Who gives us those blessings? That was very well timed, I must say. I don't know who did that, but don't be embarrassed. That's what we need in our lives, amen? Some charging. Oh, glory. That beats snoring in church, doesn't it? I lost my whole train of thought. I don't even know where the railroad is. Let's go to chapter 150. Now, with that in mind, God has brought blessings to our soul. Now, a lot of times we're going to look at the curses. A lot of times we're going to look at things and we say, well, you know, that's that. You know, we whine and we cry and all that sort of stuff. But we ought to always be thankful. Amen. I hate to refer back to it so often, but I remember 4 years ago laying in that bed not being able to turn over. And yet at the same time, God gave me some thankfulness. And it wasn't thankful I couldn't move, but I was thankful for the privilege to talk to some people and to be able to have some time to actually pray and so forth. And my wife could come in and talk to me, and I couldn't leave. I'm just teasing there. In the courtroom, they say, strike that. Joetta, please strike that. Yep. Okay, let's get at business here. 150. Praise ye the Lord. There's a word that you probably use. Maybe you don't know what it means. Hallelujah. Halla basically means praise. Yah is a word for God in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. Really, it's a Hebrew word. And it means praise ye the Lord. I hear people in the world saying hallelujah. They have no idea what they're saying. What's really exciting? Listen to an atheist say hallelujah. And they're completely ignorant. Anyways, praise ye the Lord. Praise God where? In his sanctuary. Can we just kind of take this and not read it all, just look at it a little bit at a time? He says, praise him in the sanctuary. That's in the holy area. And I think about that, and I'm thinking this. God wants us to praise him in that holy area. In other words, where we meet as a group. Church. It's a time to praise Him. And so often we look at song service and we think, well, we got to sing this song, that song, that song. The preacher preaches. We say amen, and we can finally get out of there. We ought to stop and realize one of the greatest parts of a service is being able to sing to the Lord and to raise our voices together and be able to do that as a group. Because it's praise to Him, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Now, God, this is interesting. God is holy, amen? He's all holy and He's still all powerful. He is completely righteous and powerful. You know, you can be righteous and not have power, and your righteousness is not going to have much effect. You can have power and not have righteousness and be a tyrant. But God is both. And so praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His what? Mighty acts. Now we look, and a lot of times we think of an action like His creation, the acts that He did upon the cross of Calvary. We think about the acts of His mercy. We think about the actions of His comfort. How many have ever needed comfort from God? And He is there and available. And He wants to do that. That's some of His actions. And so we're going to praise Him for His mighty acts. They're mighty. They are mighty. And then He says, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Wow. Excellent greatness. So He's given us some thoughts here as to why we should be praising Him. And this gets interesting to me. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Do you remember what the trumpet was used for back in the Old Testament? It was used basically for the gathering together of His people. And so when the trumpet sounded, sometimes it'd be a trumpet of warning, sometimes a trumpet to assemble somewhat for worship, but it had many different aspects of that kind. Let's go to the New Testament. What's the trumpet do in the New Testament? At the last trump. And we're not talking about Donald. At the last trump. And so there's a sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. I think a harp is the most beautiful instrument if they know how to play it. And praise Him with that. What are we going to see here? We're going to see here how God is taking all these different kinds of instruments and saying, use them to bring praise. And oftentimes, if somebody's doing an instrumental, we just kind of sit there and think, oh boy, I wish they were done. Some people don't actually get into it. I'm always thankful when they play a song that I know the words to, because it helps me with that. But there's something beautiful about all of that. Praise Him with a timbrel in the dance. The timbrel's like a tambourine. And the dance. In other words, they're so excited. Now, I don't expect you folks to start dancing around the aisles. But it can be that we get a little more excited about the fact we can praise Him. Amen. And then He says, praise Him with the stringed instruments. And how many of you can play? Candace learned how to play. Where's Candace at? Is she in here? She's in the nursery. Oh, we can talk about her a whole lot. Huh? Hi, Candace. We love you. Okay. Anyway, she's learned how to play the guitar. And I'm excited because one of these days, I think she'll be able to play it in front of us all. That'd be exciting. And about once a week, she comes in and she'll come to my office. Do you mind if I go over across the way and practice my guitar? Last time she did, I said, yeah, as long as I don't have to listen. And I was just teasing her. But I'm excited about that. Do you realize a piano is a stringed instrument? It's nothing more than a harp with little padded keys that hit it. Huh? Have you ever seen a grand piano and open it up and you look inside at those strings? Well, it's a harp. Hmm? And so he wants us to play with that. And then he says organs. You say, back in the Old Testament they had pipe organs? Well, I don't think so, but I think this is talking about the some sort of a mouth organ. And when I say a mouth organ, I'm talking about something that we blow on. Now, when I was little, I played the clarinet. Any clarinetists in here? I can tell you this now. I was good for nothing. I knew how to do the finger stuff. I knew how to read the notes. I knew to play on the thing so it wouldn't squeal and squeak. But I hated that thing. It hurt my cheeks back here. And I was able to kind of squeeze out of it little by little because my mother was so intent that one day I'd be marching down the street playing in the band and she could look at me and say, there's my boy. I'd rather be the guy that's catching the ball. But anyways, that was her idea. And so I played that instrument. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Now, personally, I don't get excited about cymbals because they kind of hurt my ears a little bit. But they do something in a song. They bring exclamation to it. And he says, praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. They got the tone of them is in a high pitch. And then he ends it all by saying, let everything that hath breath. Now, we talk about all the instruments, and now he's talking about just plain singing. Let him that let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So what do we find? Chapter 1. It starts out with what? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. And we go all throughout the Psalms, beautiful Psalms. We've dealt with many of those the last few weeks. And each one of them is different. Each one of them has its own purpose. These last several psalms, some people grouped them together as a series of psalms being sung. And I don't know the truth of all that, but this I do know. The psalms so often have truth in them that are marvelous to the soul. Have you ever had a need down inside and you pick up the Word of God and you turn to the psalms and it just speaks to your heart? And when you get done, it's like, wow. And praise the Lord. You see, God wants us to understand when we're blessed by Him, it's not to look at the blessings, but the blesser. Amen? Not look at the things and all of that which He surrounds us with, but to look to Him. And so as our eyes get elevated throughout the book of Psalms and all of its promises and all its marvelous things that it says, it closes off and it ends up by saying, praise ye the Lord. Huh? Hallelujah. And how he needs that. Amen. Wow. Too often we preachers, we think in a church service, it's got to be about just doctrine. In other words, here's the doctrine of the church. Here's the doctrine of sin. Here's the doctrine of soteriology, whatever that means, future things. And you got all these things running through your head in that direction. But sometimes we just need to stop and say, praise God. There's a song we sing sometimes, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. I missed something, didn't I? Praise ye above the heavenly host. Then praise ye all. Praise Father, Son. Oh, I got it right. Host and ghost. Okay. Holy Ghost. Right. Okay. You really stand out today, that red dress there. Oh. Huh? Oh. This is my Donald Trump tie. We just got kicked off YouTube. Aren't you glad, though, what God does in our lives and how we can bring Him praise? He deserves the glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for these psalms. Thank You for the privilege to know You. Thank You, oh God, for the blessedness You bring in our lives. So often we don't see that. So often we look at the problems, we look at the all the bad situations that arise, and we focus on those things and not upon Your blessedness. And I pray that as we do so, that praise might certainly come from our mouths, for You deserve it, and You deserve it so much. We ask that You might work in the following hour, and You be glorified through all that is said and done then. In Christ's name, amen.